Hi, this is Pastor Mark Webb Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
Will you do me a favor and stand to honor the reading from God's word? I promise this will be one of the last times I ask us to stand aside from the end of the sermon. Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. It should be on your screen as well. We're trying to get a little bit better with our projector. And so hopefully all the words will stay on the screen this time. Genesis chapter number 22. I'm reading from the New International Version. Genesis chapter number 22. When you have it, say amen. If you're still looking, say hold up. All right, I guess we all got it. Here's what it says. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham! Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. As you are taking your seat, help me introduce the sermon by saying to your neighbor, today's sermon is Hope on a Tightrope. All right, you had the wrong neighbor. Look to another neighbor and say, today's sermon is Hope on a tight rope. Hope on a tight rope. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these your people would see and hear less of me and more of you. Take now the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now, I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope on a tightrope. I must admit that for some time, I have been amazed by people who choose to be tightrope performers. You often see them, you know, at the circus, they're walking across on a tightrope. Sometimes they are bold and they'll ride a tricycle or something like that, across a bicycle, across a tightrope. And we are marveling at them on the tightrope. And while they do it for fun, they practice, as a matter of fact, and when they practice, you know, they can fall, but they have a net to catch them if they fall. So they really can practice. They can do all kind of tricks because if anything were to happen, they still have the safety of the net while they're walking across a tightrope. I don't understand what would make people want to walk across a tightrope. Many of us here this morning, though, we're walking across a tightrope. You're not doing it to please a crowd. You're not really doing it for cheers or for fanfare. You don't even want to be on the rope. Your whole goal is simply to get to the other side where there is safety, where there is security, where there is stability. How did you even get up here on the tightrope? Your marriage, it used to be so full of joy and excitement. Now you're trying to avoid an argument with every word that you're saying. It's on a tightrope. How did you even get up here? Your job used to be so secure. Now you're afraid to even take a lunch break because they're laying people off. Hope on a tightrope. How did you get up here? Your children used to view you as their hero, and now you're just trying to get them to call you once per week to let you know how they are doing. They don't even want to talk to you. How did you get up here? Hope on a tightrope. And unlike those who do it for performance at a circus, you don't have a safety net. Your savings account, that's been gone a long time ago. Your retirement is a joke. And while you're simply trying to balance life in order to make it to the other side, your fear is that a simple wind will come and knock you off. You're on a thin rope and you're just trying to get across. You have hope on a tightrope. For somebody right now, that's you. I'm in your seat driving in your car. I'm on your street right now. If you keep looking at me, no one will really know it's you trying to balance life on a tightrope. How do you have hope when you're on a tightrope? I'm so glad that you're asking. In our text this morning, Abraham gives us an example of how to have hope even on a tightrope. The name Jehovah Jireh is one of those compound names for God. You know, we talk about God is a love, God is a way maker. You know, if you go into a bookstore, you'll see all of the Jehovah this, Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah, all of those words, those are compound words for God. The name Jehovah Jireh is one of those compound words. The Hebrew name for God, which we looked at the first part of our series, is Yahweh. It's YHWH. We saw that in part one of the series, Who is God? I am who I am. It was such a sacred name that the Hebrew people would never actually pronounce it. They would say something else instead of saying Yahweh. When they came to read it in scripture, they would read the name Adonai instead of saying Yahweh. The original language of Hebrew did not have any consonants, so it was simply YHWH. But this morning, we're going to look at how God shows up in our lives. He's our Jehovah Jireh. Jireh means provider. Jireh, our provider. This is the only place in the Bible where we see the word Jireh used. Only place in all of the Bible is Genesis chapter number 22. And in this chapter, we learn how to have hope on a tightrope. If you're going to have hope on a tightrope, if you're going to make it and try to balance your life, first of all, brothers and sisters, take this note. First point is this. Never let your anxiety and fears have the last word. If you're going to have hope on a tightrope, if you're going to get across, you can never let your anxieties and fears have the last word. We have a shining example of this in scripture. Abraham has trusted God in the past. When God told him that he would be the father of many nations, Abraham trusted God in the past. When God told him to leave his hometown and go to a place that God would show him, this man demonstrated great trust in God. While things seemed okay for him and his wife Sarah, they had one issue. She was barren and they did not have any children. They were old. They were at the point where their relationship only consisted of hugs and, "Hey, baby, I love you." They were way beyond childbearing years. They didn't have supplements. They didn't have supplements to help them bring joy and spice back to their lives. They didn't have supplements to help them out. So God promised them a child, even in their old age. And finally, he had a son. They named him Isaac. It was only a few years after the birth of Abraham's long-promised son, Isaac, when God instructed him to take the boy to a distant mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. Let me pause here to do a little explanation, because if you're like me, I'm troubled by the fact that God would even ask him to offer his son as a sacrifice. Can we deal with that real quick? Child sacrificing was not unusual during that time period, from the patriarchs, meaning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the way through kings. It was something that was normal in that culture. It's not that probably shocked Abraham, because he's used to that in his culture. What may have been more disturbing to Abraham was simply this: God, I have waited 25 years to have this son. Out of anything you could have asked me to do, I've got one promise. Son, why would you ask me to offer this? We are told in this narrative that Abraham was getting ready for the journey. And I don't know about you, but maybe Abraham had all kind of questions in his mind. He got the supplies ready. He got the wood ready. They are off on their journey. The silence is thick. But what must have been going through Abraham's mind? God, if I show back up in this house without this son that you gave my wife in her old age, take me home, Lord. God, if she don't kill me, she will talk me to death. I don't know how to get through this. God, I don't know what you are doing. I waited for this son for so many years. What do I do? What will happen to all that God has promised me in this moment? How will I ever be able to look at my wife's face again? How will I ever be able to return home with the stain of my son's blood on my clothes? Anxieties and fears are real, and they show up in our minds all of the time. We begin to say things like, God, what am I going to do about tomorrow? My project is due and I'm not ready. God, how am I going to make it to next week? I don't even have enough food to get through the week. God, what am I going to do about what the doctor says? What if they find something? Anxieties and fears are real. God, what's going to happen with the job if I get laid off? I don't know how I'm going to make it. Anxieties and fears, we play them out in our minds all the time. God, how am I going to pay these bills? What if they turn my power off? It's already starting to get cold, and we play all kinds of scenarios in our minds because the anxieties and the fears, they are real. God, what's going to happen in this relationship? What if he leaves? What if she leaves? And we begin to play all the negative stories in our minds because the anxieties and the fears, they are real. Questions, they show up in the middle of perplexing situations. Abraham is in a perplexing situation. Nevertheless, he keeps on going. When they arrive at Moriah, Abraham and Isaac go on ahead, and the silence is finally broken when Isaac asks the question that may have been on everybody's mind. Daddy, I think we forgot something. Where is the lamb? Abraham answers his son by showing his faith in God. He says, God himself will provide the lamb. This word provide in the Hebrew word is raha. It's where we get the word Jireh from. It actually means to see. It actually means to see. Abraham was literally saying, God will see the lamb. What Abraham is meaning here is this: that God sees what our need is and he'll provide it for us. Son, God sees exactly where we are
and he'll provide it for us. Son, God doesn't have us out here and not have an answer for what we are going through. God will see and God will provide. He is God, after all, who sees everything. He's the God who foresees, the God who knows everything, the God who foreknows. Therefore, God will provide. Abraham is saying, God still has the final say. I love this because it suggests that no matter how bad things look in life, God still has the final say. God can still provide. Wherever you may be in life, don't let your anxieties and your fears have the final say. God has the final say. If you are having hope on a tightrope, you've got to begin to say to yourself, God still has the final say. Doctors may give you a bad report, but on the tightrope, you've got to begin to say to yourself, God still has the final say. The relationships may still be shaky, but it's on a tightrope, and you've got to have enough faith and trust in God to say, God still has the final say. Yes, the job market is unstable, and you're really walking a tightrope, and while it looks bad, you still have to say to yourself, God still has the final say. Yes, the bills may be piling up and you don't know where the money's going to come from, but you have to have enough faith to say God still has the final say. In order to have hope on a tightrope, you have to make sure that you don't let your anxieties and fears have the last word. God has the final say. Not only that, you have to make sure you don't let your anxieties and fears have the last word, but also this: never underestimate God's power. Never underestimate God's power. It got to the point that he has his son, his only son, the promised son, laying on the altar to be sacrificed. He pulls out the knife, ready to sacrifice his only son. And just when it looked like all hope was lost, God showed up and said, hold up, I told you I'll provide for you. Hold up, it looks bad, but I've made a way for you. Don't do anything to him because I saw your situation and you kept trusting in me, and I'm going to provide for you. There is a story about a painting that used to be in a Louvre art museum. It was called Checkmate. It was a painting called Checkmate, and it depicts two chess players. One was Satan. And Satan had a big smile on his face because he looked like he had just won the match. Satan was happy. You could see it all in his face. What was at stake was the man's soul. The man, on the other hand, is looking sad. He's looking defeated. And underneath the painting was a label, Checkmate. Man had lost in a battle against Satan. A well-known chess champion was at the museum. He came to this painting and he looked at it. He just stared at it. He was scratching his head because something was off to him. He sat down and he just looked at the painting. His friend said, man, come on, let's see the rest of the museum. Y'all go ahead. Something ain't right about this painting. And so the man began to look at every piece on the board. He looked at every possible move. And then all of a sudden it hit him. He began looking for those who managed the museum. He said, can you find me a curator? Something is not right with this painting. He began making all kinds of noise. Security came and said, no, I'm not trying to cause any problem, but something is wrong with the painting. Can you call the curator? The curator came and said, sir, what's the matter? He said, you all have the painting labeled wrong. You have it labeled as Checkmate. And it looks like the man lost, but if you realize he still has his king, and the king still has one more move. The reality is, brothers and sisters, in life, it looks like there are times when we are in checkmate. It looks like all hope is lost. It looks like there is no out for you. It looks like there is no ram in the bush. And then God shows up and lets you know that he still has one more move. Never you have hope on a tightrope.
Tell a story.
And it looks like all hope is lost. It looks like you've lost the battle and the devil has won. Always remember, brothers and sisters, the game isn't over because the king still has one more move. I know the king still has one more move, because when I read the Bible, it shows up a lot. There was a little boy who had two fish and a few loaves of bread, sees thousands of people who need food, and it looked like checkmate. But it's a lie, because the king still has another move. They collected 12 baskets of leftover food afterwards. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den full of hungry lions, and it looked like checkmate. But it was a lie, because our king still had one more move. The woman by the well is about to be killed by angry men with stones, and it looked like checkmate. The game isn't over, because the king still has one more move. The murderer next to Jesus on the cross thought it was the end for him, but he still repented. It looked like checkmate, but the king still has one more move. Somebody, you came in here right now and you're really on the tightrope and you almost gave up. But I want you to know, my brothers and my sisters, when it looked like all hope is lost, the king still has one more move. So not only that, not only do we realize, brothers and sisters, that we can never let our anxieties and our fears have the last word. Not only can we never underestimate God's power. Finally, brothers and sisters, is this, and then I am out of your way. We'll have communion. We have to never lose sight of the provider. Never lose sight of the provider. The whole time in the narrative, Abraham kept walking. Abraham kept trusting. Abraham kept believing. Even when it looked bad, he kept saying, God will provide. Even when it looked like there was no hope, he kept believing that God will provide. When I did the sermon, Hope on a Tightrope, I researched it a little bit. And I wondered, how do you actually get across a tightrope? What kind of tactics can you use to get across a tightrope? And it gave us a few instructions. When you get home, Google it for yourself. One thing that you have to do when you're on a tightrope, it says you have to keep moving. Put one foot in front of the other. But I don't feel like getting up this morning. My life is over. Just keep moving and put one foot in front of the other. But I've tried to get job after job. I know, but just keep moving. Putting one foot in front of the other. If you're going to get across and have hope on a tightrope, you've got to make sure you're able to keep moving. Even when it looks bad, it looks like you won't get across. As long as you're able to keep putting one foot in front of the other, my brothers and my sisters, we'll see that the same God who's been providing for you years before will keep on providing for you. If you want to get across a tightrope, one thing you got to do is keep one foot in front of the other. Not only that, it says that you have to keep standing. To keep standing. You can't be falling all down. When you're trying to get across on a tightrope, you want to have hope on a tightrope, you gotta keep standing. I know it looks bad. I know everybody has turned their back on you. I know they said there's no hope for you. I know they have counted you out. But if you want to have hope on a tightrope, my brothers and my sisters, even in the midst of your fear, you gotta have enough faith in God to keep on standing. You're gonna have hope on a tightrope. Not only that, it said this. If you're going to have hope on a tightrope and you're going to get across, one thing you don't want to do is look down. You want to get hope on a tightrope, you have to look up. I read in the Bible, it says, I'm looking up to the hills from which my help comes from. It looks bad, but as long as I keep on looking up, because my provider is up there, my way maker is up there, the one who delivers me is up there, I'll keep walking and I'll keep on looking at him. I'll keep my sight on him. I won't look down, because that's what the world wants me to do. That's what the enemies want me to do. As long as I keep my head up and I keep standing up, even though I'm on a tightrope, I can have hope, because I know my Lord and my Savior, he still sees me. I'll get across the tightrope. This text, brothers and sisters, is what's called a typology of Jesus. Typology of Jesus. God says, Abraham, I want to take you, your son, your only son, and I want you to sacrifice him. Story sounds a little familiar. I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham is faithful. Abraham trusts all the way to the end. And God says, hold up. This is just a typology of what I got to do to save you. My brothers and my sisters, there's another story about a son being offered. And we find that in the New Testament. When God said, Abraham, I let you go a little bit, but now I want to show you what it's going to take to save folk who are coming to Uplift Church on Sunday morning. I want to show you what it's going to be able to take to get you across a tightrope. I'll send my son, my only son, and I'll have him walk across a tightrope. He'll have hope in me. The devil will think he's won, but it's my son. He's walking across a tightrope. Not for fanfare, not for excitement, not to get cheers, but he's walking across a tightrope to get you and to get me. My brothers and my sisters, they sacrificed our Lord and our Savior for you and for me. But in him being sacrificed and raised on the third day, we know this, that no matter how bad it may look in life, I can have hope even on a tightrope. Brothers and sisters, as you go out, you face your week, and it looks bad. It looks like all hope is lost. Remember, you still have one move. That's the king in your life. When it looks bad and you can't get across, remember to look up from which cometh your help. To stand up because God is there with you. And to keep on walking. To keep on having faith. This is how we have hope on a tightrope. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you now and we thank you. Thank you for being a God that gives us hope even while we're walking on a tightrope. Thank you for being a God who makes ways for us when we don't see a way. Thank you for being a God that will protect us and provide for us. Thank you for being a God who sees exactly what we are going through. Thank you for introducing yourself to us, even though we are walking across tightropes. Family and friends may think things are fine for us, but we're really just trying to balance enough not to fall off the tightrope. Lord God, we pray now for somebody who's trying to make it just another week. And they've almost given up hope. Help them to stand up. Help them to look up to the hills from which cometh their help. Help them to keep on keeping on, just taking one step and one deal. Lord God, maybe there's somebody here, even while I'm praying, they hear about this hope on a tightrope. They hear about this God who sees and who provides. They hear about this God who can keep his promises. We hear about the God who will make ways for us. But Lord God, maybe they can only hear about it, but they've never accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Maybe this is a day that they too will have hope on a tightrope. Lord God, we love you. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we're standing all over the sanctuary, brothers and sisters, maybe there's someone here now. You need to make a decision to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe this sermon has helped you just get through another day. You came in saying, you know what, that's me right now. I needed that hope. I don't want everybody else to know my story. I don't want anybody else to know my struggle. I don't really need hugs and pats on the back. I really just needed hope to get through this week. And maybe God has spoke to you. Maybe you hear my brother, my sister, and you have never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We want to make it very easy for you. You received a connection card as you came in. We're going to pray a prayer, and you simply check, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, as we pray this prayer together. That's it. You don't have to come down. I don't have to hug you in front of everybody else. You don't have to come up and even cry. No, it's simply you making a commitment between God and you. So brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask all of us to pray this prayer. And as we're praying it, maybe somebody is praying it for the first time. Father God, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. But I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day. And because of that, I believe that I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise, because somebody today made a decision to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Maybe somebody made a decision to recommit their lives to Christ, and we thank God for that. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. And brothers and sisters, while you're being seated, maybe you're at the point in your life where you're saying, Pastor, man, I'm really walking this tightrope. My hope is almost off, but I came in today hoping that God would restore me, hoping that God would give me strength just to keep taking one step in front of the other. Maybe you hear my brother, my sister, and you're standing in need of prayer. At this time, we're going to have an altar call prayer. We actually simply ask you to stand here, and we're going to pray with you. You're going to hold someone's hand and let them know that they've made it through another week. If you hear my brother, my sister, and you're standing in need of prayer, we invite you to come. We go before God in prayer. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we humbly approach your throne in praise, knowing that you are the God who sees, knowing that you are the God who provides, knowing that you are the one who's kept us this far, even while we're walking across a tightrope. Father God, someone's standing right now and they need hope just to get through another week. They need hope just to make it through the day, Lord God. Somebody is at the end and they're just holding on, saying, God, I need you to make a way for me. Somebody's standing and they're praying for a loved one, saying, God, give them hope. Don't let them give up. Don't let them give out. Don't let them throw in the towel. Lord, help them, because I know they're on a tight rope right now. Father God, we know that you see. We know that you can provide. We know that you can give hope. So right now, Lord God, we pray that you would move in a mighty way. Move in someone's life, letting them know that you are real and that you've not forgotten about them. Introduce yourself to somebody. This is our prayer. Tomorrow, in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray and we thank you. In Jesus' name.